Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
So this morning, we're not going to get into the series that we have been in, but we'll get back to that next week. But I tell you what, this is how awesome God is. Like, this is how he works, is that if you remember where we left off talking about seeds. So Jesus was on the shoreline. He's standing up there on top of a boat, and he's preaching about seeds. And it's just amazing how God does this. I don't know if any of you guys caught this, but the very next thing that happens is they push off from the shore, and a storm comes, you know? Like, I mean, you can't plan this stuff. God, you've gone ahead of us again. I'm going to read from the actual Bible this morning, you know? I tell you, one thing I've learned to appreciate without any power was, like, I need to read the Bible, and how do I do that? I can't remember. I have to go get the real thing instead of my tablet. So here we go. But let's read this together because I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories. And then just to let you know how this morning's going to go, we're going to do this, and then we're going to go eat together and enjoy some time together. All right, so he preaches about the seeds, and then they push off. On that day when evening came, he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind. Can anybody actually hear it now? Can you hear it? I heard it all night long. All right. And there was arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him, saying, and they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind. I mean, you can see this happening, right? Because all of us that have kids, especially, like, you finally fall asleep and the kids come and they wake you up, you know? Does that not happen to anybody else? Is that just us? Great. All right, so here he is. He's sleeping. He wakes up and he says, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I love this. So you can picture this, especially coming through the hurricane. You know, I don't know about you guys. I really enjoyed, not losing power really, but when power goes out, it's very quiet, isn't it? Like, there's no hum, there's no nothing. People that need a little sound machine really, really had a hard time with that. But I really enjoyed getting to watch. I stayed up for a while. I wanted to kind of watch it all. And just listening to the wind and listening to all that kind of go by, it was very kind of peaceful. But I love in this moment, these guys are in the boat and they're freaking out. It's like as if I would have had some trees that I did in the backyard that were leaning in. You're kind of going, hey, this could end up turning out really bad. And I love that the disciples are so freaked out that they go and wake Jesus up. And I don't know how he was sleeping through this. He must have been a little bit like me. I can sleep through stuff. But he's sleeping in the middle of a storm so bad, the water's all coming in the boat. They're all thinking, we are going to die. And I love that he gets up. I picture him being irritated because he's been woken up now. He gets out there, tells the storm to be quiet. Everybody stop. And I picture him going back to bed. You know, I mean, he's just done. You know, it's like, what? I've been preaching all day. I want to go take a nap. And so in this moment, though, I love that the disciples then go from being afraid of the storm to being afraid of Jesus. Like, they look at him and they're now afraid of him, saying, "Who is this?" And Jesus says, you have no faith. You have no, have I not been able to persuade you yet to believe in me? Is really what he's asking. Is it possible that you still aren't seeing me right? And see, for those of us that just went through this, for those of y'all watching the live stream, we had a good time this week, as you might imagine. And the thing is that it's so easy to quote verses like John 16:33 that says that in this world you will have trouble, but take courage, I have overcome the world. And then we can quote that and then go right back to freaking out, right? Like that's what I watched on Facebook, you know? It was like people were posting, "I will not be afraid in Jesus' name." And I'm like, are you trying to convince yourself of that, or are you saying that? You know, like, I couldn't quite tell. Because that's humanity, right? Is that we know Jesus, but then you get into a storm or a situation. It's easy to quote verses, but here's the thing, where we get ourselves in trouble is when we think that that's But that's what we need to do, is that we need to find a way to overcome the storm ourselves, that we watch all these different things and we put our eyes on everything else except for Jesus in these moments. And the honest truth is that whatever we're putting our eyes on, whether it's to have courage or faith or belief or any of these things other than Jesus, we're taking our eyes off of him. And so in the middle of a storm, you can have perfect peace. And I believe many of us probably did, because we knew our good, good Father, as we sang this morning, was with us and was protecting us. But where was Jesus in this story? He was at rest in a boat, just relaxing. Why? Because he knew that God was in him reconciling the world to himself. He knew that his mission was not over. That boat, I've said this before, was indestructible. Talk about incorruptible seed, indestructible. That boat was indestructible. A blue whale could have landed on that boat, like an asteroid could have been on top of that, and like, it would not have mattered. Like, Jesus was in the world doing what God had put him here to do. The life that was in him still had purpose. There was still something to happen here. And so this morning, just briefly, I want to talk about awareness versus being a victim. Because our culture right now, if you haven't noticed, we can all be a victim if we want to. But we're reminded over and over and over again that we are not living in this existence. We're not living in the flesh. We live spiritually. We look for our answers, not by might and power and all of that. We look to the Spirit for our answers. And that is where our victory is, because that is where our hope is, and that is where our future is. That is why we can stand so firmly on this truth. That if God cared so much to transfer us from one kingdom into another, into him, we can trust that he will absolutely take care of everything in our lives. I will never be a victim. And I tell you what, I'm sure I've had just as many opportunities as you've had to be one. But I don't want to be a victim, because I am victorious, amen? And our victory is something Spirit revealed. And that's what I want you to catch this morning. I'm not up here to say that, hey, we're victors, and we walk out of here and we psyched ourselves up. No, this is something the Spirit says to us. The Spirit speaks this to us and says, you are a victor. And when you hear that, it's very, very hard to be a victim. Man, I was never promised an easy life. I was promised one thing, though, is that if I have air in my lungs, that it is not this brain keeping me alive any longer. It's not just the air in my lungs that's keeping me alive, but no, it's him. It is God's life in me that keeps me moving. That's why you can ride out a storm, and I sit there and I think to myself, Lord, you are absolutely with me. Why? Because I'm breathing right now. If I wasn't breathing, well, then I would be right there with you. But on this earth, that is the only reason why that I am alive, is your life in me, which means that if I were to have lost it all in the storm, the good news is that I am still rich. The good news is that the insurance company says, you know, we don't want to cover the pool area, you know, that got destroyed, which God bless the insurance companies during this time, you know, because I don't even know how to process all of this information. But imagine if they don't cover, I know who will. Who? My Father in heaven will cover it. He will take care of it. Look, if my life is even taken from me, the good news is I still have it. In other words, what I'm telling you this morning is the reason why we are victors is because nobody can take it from us. We are invincible. Even if we lose, we win. Now, here's the crazy part, is we're not just in a boat with Jesus. We're not just in a boat that's indestructible, but we've been sealed by his Spirit. He sealed us, not too unlike the sealing of the ark. And as the ark went over the waves, so do we. Isn't it interesting that I think everyone caught it? Did y'all see the rainbow that appeared like right afterwards, like the next day? Like, I've never in my life seen a rainbow that brilliant. It was so bright. Many of you posted pictures of it. I can tell it caught everyone's attention. And I love that. God's way of still saying, I'm still here. I've never left you and I never will. So here's the question this morning. What do we do with this life that he's given us? If we're all still here, it's for a reason. What do we do with this life? And I believe we are here to show victory, that we're here to show what victory really looks like. Even when we lose, we win. Boy, hasn't it been encouraging? I've looked at the statistics and the numbers coming out of how the church has risen up during this time, not just here, but with the fires on the West Coast, and you got hurricanes everywhere. And I've been off Facebook for a while. Anybody, like, you turn Facebook back on, and it's just, you forgot how much of a mess it is out there, you know? And there's just lots of conflict and fighting and just trouble in our world today. It's just a mess. But the wonderful thing about this story, if you'd caught this, the story with the boat when Jesus is on the water, if you notice, there were a lot of other boats that followed Jesus. And so here's Jesus going on his boat, and yes, he calmed the storm for their boat, but what did that do for everybody else? Everybody else's storm was calmed as well. And I love that in the times like these, we really get to reveal him. We get to show him to the whole world because we're victors. Where others find victims, we are victors, and we can watch what God does. And even in our own lives, what God does here calms the storms around us, doesn't it? You walk into a room and you're spirit led and you're bringing spirit into a very fleshly situation, and you can watch a storm calm down instantly. Let me read this one thing from Paul and then we're going to kind of wrap up. But Paul wrote this. He refused to be a victim, and he had more opportunities than probably any of us. And he said this in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that has been revealed or being revealed to us." I love that what I'm going through right now is not even worthy of me complaining about it. What I'm going through right now is not even worthy to talk about comparatively to what Christ has done in my life. And boy, I don't know. I've been just so encouraged to watch story after story after story of the hidden blessings that have been found within this storm. I know I was just talking to some of you guys here this morning. I got to spend time with my neighbors more that I never get to spend time with. I got to spend time with my family more. I got to go help people out who needed help. And all of these different things are just incredible ways to get to show God's love to the world around us. And it's been awesome. And he goes on to say that not only are these things not worthy, but he says that in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So boy, if you're here this morning and you're feeling like, man, I got a lot of things to figure out because of the storm. You have three people on the job that are an absolute incredible team, Paul says. And you can read all the rest of this in Romans chapter 8. But he says that basically the Son, the Father, and the Spirit work in concert together, going ahead of you and preparing the way and making a way for you. Even when you don't know what to pray, he's praying. Now let me give you an example of this, and then we're going to go eat some good food. I was in Mexico when I was 20-something, and I was on a mission trip there, and we were out in Acapulco. I know you're thinking, like, what kind of mission trips in Acapulco? Well, it was our last day, okay? So we had worked really hard building a hospital for 7 days, and our last day was now some time to relax. So we're in, you know, the beautiful bay of Acapulco, and we were having a lot of fun. Well, at night, we went back out to the beach, and there's a cove there, and you think I would know better from living in Florida, but we were standing on the shoreline, and I was with three friends, two girls and a buddy of mine, and he is built like a linebacker. You got to understand, like, just standing next to this guy, you feel safe. You're like, if anybody were to come at us, like, he just look at him, you know? It's like Andre the Giant, like, he is the man. And so we're out there, and we're standing in this water, and the water's up to our ankles, okay? So there's no danger here at all. But it's totally dark. It's probably 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night. I don't know where my youth pastor was or why he was letting us out there, but anyway, not to get him in trouble. And so anyway, we're facing towards the hotels. If the hotels were over here, and we're facing that way, and we're watching as the water would go out, and then as it comes past us, I mean, it would just sail off our legs. I mean, you would see it go 100 yards. It was incredible. Now, what I should have realized was that's a what? It's a rip current. Like, you're standing in a rip current. Like, yeah, this is really cool, but very dangerous. Now, we're standing there. It's only up to our ankles, though, so there's no big deal. So we ended up getting down on our hands and knees, and we're just standing there on the shoreline facing the hotel, and we're all laughing. We're all looking at each other as the water's going past us, and all of a sudden, everybody starts screaming from the hotels and stuff. Everyone's yelling, saying, get up, get up. And sure enough, as we turned around and we looked, there was a wave taller than us that was now coming down over us, and there was no time to react. So I get tossed in the water. It's that kind of deal where you're flipping upside down in the water. And again, I was just in ankle-deep water. But when I stood up, now it was up to my thighs. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness. And now the ground, if you've never been in a rip current, it's moving faster than you can keep your feet on it. And so I couldn't even keep my feet on it. I just had enough wherewithal to look around, and I found one of the girls who's floating. I grabbed her hand, and I'm trying to pull her and me back up onto the beach. I don't even know where my buddy Zach and the other girl are, but I assume they were trying to do the same thing, when all of a sudden the next wave comes and crashes down on top of me. Now I'm tossing under the water again, and I come back out of the water, and now I'm in waist-deep water in the middle of Acapulco, totally out of my element. It's totally dark. I don't know about you guys, but I'm thinking sharks are probably everywhere, you know? And so I'm up to here. I'm freaking out, and I'm grabbing her, and I'm trying to pull myself forward, and I'm realizing very quickly I am not going to make it back to the shore. I'm in serious trouble. Now, you don't have a lot of time to think in these moments. You're not, like, strategizing it. You're just panicking. And this third wave is the third wave came and crashed, and I'm tumbling under the water for the third time. I honestly felt like this is it, like I'm going to drown tonight. And I prayed instinctively, and this is the point I'm trying to make. It wasn't some lofty prayer. It was a quick little, Jesus, help me. It was just, Jesus, help me. It just came out of me. And as I put my hand up out of the water, I'm telling you, a hand grabbed my hand. And suddenly, as I come up out of the water, the people on the shoreline had made a human chain, and they were in the water, and they grabbed us, and they pulled us ashore. I coughed up more sand and dirt than I thought was possible. But I tell you, the amazing chance that I would have come out of the water right where the person was to grab me is no accident. No, God was there. God had moved ahead of me. God had those people standing on the beach knowing that moment was going to happen, and he supplied the answer. And so this is where I stay so many times when we have these storms and these different things is, Lord, it's not about even what I pray. It's not even about what I plan. I mean, we should do all of those things, of course. But Lord, I stand confident that even in the moment, if not anything than just me saying, God, help me, I know that my good Father will help me, and he'll do it better than I could have ever planned. Amen. Do you guys get that this morning? Amen. So here's the thing. I'm encouraged. I am encouraged that the same Jesus that calmed the storm back then is still in our lives today, calming storms and doing what he does best. And I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going to go through in the storm. I know many of us are probably pretty carved up from getting trees and all that kind of stuff out of our yards. But I know many are still facing different trials and circumstances, many of which are in our own state. There are some that have absolutely lost everything. And so in these moments where I know we have the opportunity to all be victims and say, oh my gosh, look at what happened to me, I'm saying, Lord, what can we do? What can you still, I got air in my lungs, God. So what are we doing? What are we doing today? And so here's a couple opportunities that I want you to pray about this morning, and then we're going to close. And that is this. We partner with Missionary Ventures. If you guys don't know, that's Bill Snell, who was a pastor here for many years, and now he's the president over there. But we also partner with them because we've gone on many mission trips with them, and they do incredible work in these countries. And so what they are doing is they're pooling resources together to try to go help some of these people that are in these islands that have just lost it all. I mean, yeah, we have air conditioning today, but some people just have nothing left. And so I want you to pray this morning, even in the middle of our own financial needs and our own things that we're going through, I want you to pray this morning about giving towards that effort. Also, you can give towards Grace Church. We will also use those funds to help those right around here. And then thirdly, when we get to lunch here in a minute, we're going to have a clipboard. And if you're in the room and you're like, hey, I just need some help getting some tree limbs out of my yard, or I need somebody with a chainsaw, I can't quite get this thing done, would you fill that out today? And then we as the church want to try to help each other. Amen? Can we look out for one another as a community and try to support one another? So we're going to do that as well. So here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to pray. And I want you just to hear from God. If God doesn't say anything to you, then don't give. But if God says something, I just pray you'll do whatever he says to do. Father, we thank you so much that you carried us through this storm. And Lord, you'll carry us through every storm because that's your heart and that's what you do. We are victors in you. And Lord, I am just so, so honored and blessed to be able to show your victory off to the whole world. Lord, you cause us to win even when we lose. Where else can you find that anywhere in the world? Lord, you are incredible, and we thank you, and we praise your name. And Lord, thank you, by the way, for air conditioning. God, we love it here in Florida, and I'm just thankful for the little things as much as the big things. God, I pray right now, though, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, as we prepare to give towards opportunities here this morning. Lord, that would you speak to us and just share exactly what we should do? Lord, we'll do whatever it is you tell us. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.